Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So your Tampa Bay Rays win game one of their best of three playoff series against the Blue Jays as Blake Snell was dealing. Snell was pulled with two out in the sixth after allowing, get this, just one hit. Nick Anderson pitched some innings. We got a two-run homer by Manuel Margot. Lots to talk about. Good stuff in that game. They win game one. Game two is this afternoon at 4 o'clock as they have a chance to advance in that series and sweep the Blue Jays if they can. And then, of course, Steve, you were at the Tampa Bay Lightning returned home from their, you know, victorious Stanley Cup final.
65 days in the bubble.
Unbelievable, man. We'll talk about what I saw just on camera. You were at Amalie Arena, so I want to hear all about the VIP celebration. And the Bucks are preparing for their game against the L.A. Chargers. Some COVID cases, by the way, in the NFL with the Titans, but the league says, oh, we're going to play. Don't you worry. We've got all that and more on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Burstink that you just heard from. And, you know, I was a little like, for I talked to Mark Tompkin the other day. We had him on a podcast, and I was a little curious about this two out of three. I think the danger for the Rays is this series, right? Anything can happen. If Snell had gone out there and he's had some outings where, you know, he's thrown 50 pitches through two innings, and if he gives up a crooked number early in the game, that this thing could get away from them, and not just the game, but maybe the series, because you didn't want to be playing for your, you know, your elimination lives today if you lost game one. I have to give it to Blake Snell. I haven't seen him pitch this well since he won the Cy Young Award. And there's a good hitting ball club over there in Toronto. Those guys have had a lot of success at the Trop. He was dominant to the point, like swing and miss dominant, right? Like they couldn't make contact on this guy most of the times. And when they did, there was some kind of like honing device or you know, something that would cause every hard hit ball to go to Willy Adames. And he made every play. It was the strangest thing.
Yeah, I mean, Blake Snell, what, took a no-hitter into the sixth inning.
Yeah.
Which, if you include the postseason, it's the sixth time in 66 starts since 2018 he had a no-hitter through five innings.
Wow.
So one in every 11 starts.
That's amazing.
He takes a no-hitter into the sixth inning. The first left-handed pitcher to record nine strikeouts or more and allow one hit or fewer in a postseason game in Major League history.
Goodness.
Yeah, he was dealing tonight. Also, the fourth pitcher in postseason history with nine strikeouts or more on 82 pitches or fewer since C.C. Sabathia in 2017.
And that was the most impressive part. Look, Blake has, we all know he has four wipeout pitches, right? I mean, and sometimes that can be his problem because he likes them all.
Yep.
And he'll try to use them all. And he'll fall behind hitters, and before you know it, he's thrown, you know, 45, 50 pitches through two. And that's not a good recipe for staying in the game, much less winning. But when the way he attacked these hitters with fastballs and worked everything off of that and just had command of everything.
He threw 12 out of 17 first pitch strikes.
Fantastic.
Recorded 18 swings and misses, including eight of them on the curveball.
Right. No, it was devastating. And coming off that fastball, of course, it makes it even worse. Really, he could go fastball, curveball, and have – they're both such great pitches that he could win on just that alone. But he had them fooled. He pitched a great game. It was so well needed. And then I thought it was easy or interesting. You know, Kevin Cash, who is thinking like all of us, like me, played this game as if it were game seven, right? As if it were the elimination game, because in many ways you can't dig this hole, right?
Mm-hmm.
So – I was surprised, but there was Nick Anderson coming in relief and pitching two innings, not the ninth, by the way, kind of early for him, And yet he went to his big gun. I believe, and I'd have to check this with Mark, but I heard it on the broadcast, that that was the most pitches that Anderson has thrown in a game this year. So he was not going to go with his B bullpen. I mean, you know, he was going to go hard. You know, and Pete Fairbanks ends up closing it out. I think it was his first save of the year.
That's correct. So he became the first pitcher to have no saves in the regular season and get one in his first playoff game since Pittsburgh's Bob Walk in 1991.
Bob Walk.
Yeah, and he's the 13th Rays player to get a pitcher to get a save this year, which sets a major league record.
That's a major league record in a 60 game season. Well, 61
games total. Yeah.
Yeah. A major league record. So the Rays continue to do things that no one has ever done in baseball, and it always seems to work. Look, this was the template, right, of the Rays' success, not just this year, but in all the years when they've won, and that is, you know, lights-out pitching, tremendous defense behind it, and then very timely hitting. I mean, you know, kind of coming up with that clutch hit and producing runs in awkward ways. And really, it started with Randy Arozarena. This guy just hasn't been here that long. You know, they made the trade with the Cardinals. He was sent down to Port Charlotte for a long time. He has come up here. And I'm telling you, if I were a Rays fan, I don't know that there's a guy that you should be more excited about on this ball club, because I haven't found anything that he can't do extremely well. The guy can obviously hit. He can hit with power. He's had a couple multiple home run games. He can run. He hit one to the right center field gap and slid in with a triple and then scored on a wild pitch. That's why that was important. He's just a really, really good ball player. And I think, you know, between him and the other guys that you count on in that lineup, you know, they just have to find ways to score runs. They were still precariously close without the really good pitching of a big fly maybe tying this game, and then it's anybody's guess what happens after that. But a pretty good start for Kevin Cash in the Rays.
It's a great start, especially when you consider in the other three American League series, the road team or the lower-seeded team won all three today.
Wow.
You know, Shane Bieber gave up, what, 7 runs in 4 innings to the Yankees? Or a little over 4 innings. Yep. So they got drilled. Last I saw was 11-2. I don't know if that was the final or not.
Right.
The Astros won, and so did the White Sox. So the lower-seeded team won 3 of the 4 series that they all started today in the American League. So the home team or the higher-seeded team now has to win the next 2 to advance.
Yeah, and I think I've seen the bracket. I don't misquote me, or maybe I'm incorrect, but I believe if the Yankees were to beat the Indians, that would be the Rays' next opponents, should they get through.
Correct. The Rays Blue Jays winner will face the Indians Yankees winner.
Right. And this, by the way, is not the Indians team that you saw at the end of the season when the Rays went up, you know, to New York and pretty much demolished them. They've got a lot, if not all, of their key players back, and they're a different ball club and a dangerous one, and one that a lot of people pick them and the Dodgers to be in the World Series, and I'm not sure so sure just. Again, you don't play the game on paper, but they would seem to be, two of the best teams, if not the best teams in baseball. But Rays dominated them in the regular season in their series, so they would welcome that, I'm sure. Playoff baseball, I was not ready for it. I must tell you that, it was cool that it was in the afternoon. There were several games on TV at once, and yet, you know, when you sit down there and you realize that these guys have played through this pandemic and they, you know, they played 60 games and they had a really good year and or half a year or third a year or whatever it is, and the tension you feel, that's, you know, baseball is a slow sport. It's a thinking man's sport. But you could kind of feel something was different between, you know, every pitch, every at bat. So that was cool, man. I like it. And apparently there's going to be, what, about 112 games on today?
Yeah, well, it's really weird. You know, you say it didn't feel like playoff baseball or, you know, kind of. It's because the Stanley Cup was awarded last night.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, you know, we went straight from the Lightning winning the Stanley Cup to the Rays are starting the postseason. That never happens.
I didn't take a breath.
You know, the Lightning win the Stanley Cup, you know, in a normal year, you're not quite halfway through the baseball season yet. You know, you're getting close to the All-Star break. You got to, you know, a couple weeks and you'll take a few days off for that. Not,
right.
Hey, the playoffs start tomorrow. I mean, right. You know, none of us got enough sleep to be watching playoff baseball.
That's your damn sir. The one thing I am glad about is that the Rays are playing afternoon games for now.
Yes.
And if,
you know, today's game is going to be a 4:07 start, the baseball did announce that if they do have to go to a third game, it'll be a 4:07 start as well.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, we all appreciate that. Major League Baseball is the best for doing that for us. But, you know.
No, it's just because we're not playing the Yankees. Then it would be guaranteed to be a night game.
Oh, yeah. Well, then it's going to be 9 o'clock. And then the Yankees play five-hour games, even if they're playing each other. Yeah, that's going to be sick. I mean, that series will really be, highly contested. But they're one game away. But, look, you've got Tyler Glasnow on the mound, who's thrown the ball pretty, pretty well. And we know how dominant he can be. Get this one over with early, and maybe you can use Charlie Morton somewhere down the road. But pitching and defense, man, they both showed up. Willie Adames made a play in the first inning, ranging to his left. One of the best plays I've seen him make. I mean, it was just tremendous coverage and then spun and throw and threw a guy out. I almost felt for the Blue Jays, almost, because they had men on base. It was 3-1, and I'm telling you, these guys hit some rockets, like screaming line drives, and Adames caught every one of them. The ball kept finding that guy like nobody's business. It was just weird. So they were somewhat fortunate. It could have gotten away. They had, obviously, the tying run at the plate at times and just didn't do anything with it. But good start for the Rays. See if they can close it out. That would certainly, you know, help everybody, help their bullpen. I don't know that Anderson will be available, but this is what you want to do. You want to.
Well, they carried 13 pitchers, so I mean, you know, for a three-game series, and you don't need a fourth or fifth starter for this. So that's part of the reason you can manage a game, you know, with the extended bench this year because of coronavirus and the short, you know, training camp 2.0 or summer camp, whatever they call it. The rosters are 28, not 25 or 6.
Right.
So, you know, you were able to carry, 13 pitchers and still have a ton on your bench, including the bench, G-Man Choi and Yandy Diaz both on the roster for this.
Yeah.
You know, and Kevin Cash said they weren't ready to play, you know, all 9 innings yet, so they weren't in the lineup today as far as starting. But, you know, they're on the roster for these 3 games. So that's good news for their offense and their bats.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, let's talk about the Lightning because – I think people are still sort of like, first of all, tired from watching this team. And there is nothing – if you're a fan of hockey teams that make it to the Stanley Cup or in the playoffs, there's no more exhausting fandom. Because I watched my girls go through this. I enjoy watching the games too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not rooting for anybody necessarily. But I'm rooting for my kids' team because they love the Lightning. So I'm like, well, I don't want to see them unhappy. But they were going crazy last night. And yet – it's grueling. You sacrifice emotions and sleep and a lot of things. And, of course, no one's been able to see these guys. And they haven't been able to see anyone outside of the bubble for how long now had they been in it?
They were there 65 days.
65 days. I mean, that is a
– it's over 9
weeks.
You
won't get that much – for committing some crimes in this country, believe me. But
think about that.
Days.
I believe the baseball season this year was 66 days.
Wow. So they were gone the entire – just the entire – and Cooper referenced that. He goes, a whole baseball season happened when we were gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I see them come in, and they, you know, there's a lot of cameras and TV stations in there, you know, at the hangar when the old jet pops in and they're coming down. And it was like seeing a bunch of heroes come back from someplace like, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, their families hadn't seen them for so long. Some have young children that were like infants when they left, and now I think they're walking. But it was, you know, it was so cool watching them fall into everybody's arms and the wives and the girlfriends and the girlfriend's wives or whatever. I don't know whatever it was. It was just, there was all kinds of family and hugs and. And you really felt like, oh, my God, these people have not seen their loved ones, you know, for over 2 months. Like, your children, a couple of them were just, you know, jumped into their arms, and they couldn't put them down, and they didn't want to put them down. And it was really something.
Yeah, I mean, even Coach Cooper, who's, you know, kids are a little older. You know, it's not the infant type or anything, you know. And they were, you know, that hug was a long hug, and as it should be. I mean, you know, it's...
You're missing soccer games. You're missing first days of school. You know,
Well, you know,
but hey,
you know, it's okay to miss e-learning. You're all right there. That one, probably thankful for. But
right, yeah, well, very. But you know what? They brought the prize home.
Yeah.
Dallas had to go home without it. They brought it home. It's a wonderful thing. And then you were at this event. Now we know Jeffrey Vinnick, you know, does things first class. Okay, and you know, you saw the little FaceTiming things, you know, some Cooper mm-hmm. did with Vinnick on the phone in the clubhouse afterwards.
You own the hockey team and you couldn't even be there to lift the cup.
Yeah, that's right. You know who I am? No, we don't care. But it had to be cool. Tell me what it was like. I mean, again, they hadn't seen each other for very long, and these families now are together, and they're together as an organization. And he puts on this event, and they got to do what they would have done had they all been, I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know, together after they won that game instead of separated by, you know, 1,000 miles or so.
So about a week ago, maybe not quite a week ago, they put the ice back at Amalie Arena. They had mm-hmm. taken it out after the team went north for the bubble.
Right.
And so they put it back in. And normally when you win the Stanley Cup, you know, everyone comes on the ice, you know, from the media to, you know, your teammates are all there, but all your families come on the ice.
Family, yeah.
You know, so you're there with your wife or your kids or your girlfriend, father, or your mom and dad. And, yeah. you know, we saw a few of them up there because if they were Canadian citizens, they could actually get in if they went through testing and had to quarantine for a few days and that. But anyone from America couldn't. So Jeffrey Vinnick and the Lightning organization put on an event tonight where they did a big ceremony and they – you know, introduced every player and you know, and on all the executives, a little bit what you're going to see today at the public, you know, thing. They're going to do that again today where, you know, here's the training staff, here's the front office staff, here's
you gotta give those
all these
credit.
People that get the props. And then the players all came out, skated on the ice, held the cup up on the ice, you know, skating around doing circles as Paul Porter's announcing them. And so they go through the whole lineup. And then Jeff Vinnick speaks, and Julian Breezeball speaks, John Cooper speaks, Steven Stamkos speaks. This was for their families, and there were some sponsors and some some season ticket members in. There wasn't a lot. I mean, it was very socially distanced and spread out. This wasn't meant to be a big thing, and it wasn't a public
thing. It was private, mm-hmm. yeah.
And then afterwards, they then turn on the music and say, families, you can come out on the ice. And they had some of the kids had skates on, and they were skating on the ice, and they were taking pictures with the Stanley Cup and, you know, talking to each other and kind of doing what they had confetti coming down from the rafters. And,
really? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it wasn't the full,
but as if
know, full production,
the,
but it was, you know, it was
home,
nice
yeah.
where now they got a picture with their wife in the Stanley Cup as they're wearing their uniform. They weren't in full pads and that, but they were in their uniform and on skates on the ice, and
kids were
skating around, and it was really cool to see. I mean, it was a well done event for the play. I think the players really appreciated it. I would, you know, think their families definitely did, because they didn't get to share that moment with them. You know, and as they all said, you know, look, it was our spouses sacrificed so much for this too. I mean, we were in a bubble for 65 days, but they're back home with the kids and handling everything, and we're not there to help at all. I mean, and there's a lot of times we're not there every day because we travel and this, but we're not gone for 2 straight months.
No, that's not typical of anything. And, you know, it's just cool. Like I said, it was cool to see them all get reunited with their families again. You stop and think about the sacrifice they made. And, you know, people have mentioned, I don't think it's a thing, but people have mentioned asterisks and things like this. I would submit to anybody that this was the hardest NHL, you know, Stanley Cup to win simply because of all the variables out of your control and the separation. It had to be grueling. It had to be long. There had to be a lot of moments where, you know, you just don't got enough going on and you're homesick and whatnot. But the level of play on the ice, you really couldn't tell the difference. At least I couldn't from the untrained eye. I think, you know, all these teams were really going for it. So it doesn't diminish anything that they've done on the ice. But, you know, again, unfortunate that, you know, you couldn't have the mob. Although, did you see the some of the shots outside Amalie after they won? Whoo, boy.
It was got a little crazy out there, which
it did.
It tends to happen anywhere there's championships won. I mean,
absolutely.
It's not uncommon at all. So, you know, you hope that, you know, everyone's okay. And you know, one of the things the Lightning's stressing today for the boat parade, if you're heading out there, is, you know, try to social distance as best you can. And,
right.
You know, do that. And there, of course, there'll be social distancing in effect at Raymond James Stadium for the public celebration this afternoon, which I believe the tickets are all gone. I saw there was people scalping tickets for the free tickets. So, but yeah, I mean, they're only limiting so many people in there. So, you know, to just like the Bucks are going to, you know, this weekend with their game and USF as well. And that, you know, that's kind of our new norm for a while now.
Yeah, it is. I think they're talking about, you know, maybe getting up around 10,000 this first time. But when they do open it up somewhere close to 25%, which would be around 16,000, believe me, that'll look better than an empty stadium, even as spread out as it is. You know, and I guess, you know, USF may draw a little bit less, but it's just great that mm-hmm. somebody can see Tom Brady. You know, that somebody can watch this Bucks football team. Go out there and you know, and play. I mean, they're 2-1. They're first place in the NFC South. And, you know, I think outside of Chris Godwin, who is going to miss a couple days, starting Sunday, they're going to have 2 games in 4 days. And that's not easy to do because they go to Chicago for a Thursday night game. Chicago's undefeated. They got a new quarterback in Nick Foles. You know, all of that is you know, all of that is stuff that it's going to be difficult for them, but they just can't suffer any more injuries.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And
well, it's going to be difficult, you know, but if they're successful, you know, in what, 8 days from now, they're going to be 4-1.
They're going to be 4-1 with a mini bye week, and then everybody will be talking about Tom Brady as they should. Maybe not as much as Colin Coward did, but I, you know. And the division will be, they'll be in really good shape. I mean, because some of those teams are going to knock each other off below them. And of course they lost to New Orleans, but they get them again. So you want to keep the train moving, man. You want to get to 3-1 in that first quarter of the season, as they always say. And, you know, it's going to be tough because Chris Godwin will probably miss some time. The other guy that's going to miss time is Sean Murphy Bunting. And he really has been an outstanding second year player. Got really good as a rookie at the end of the year, you know, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, you're going to have some injuries in this game. The one thing that's good for them is the versatility of Antoine Winfield Jr. I mean, not only has he been great as a safety with a couple of sacks and a forced fumble and that sort of thing, but he's versatile enough and so versatile that you can move him to a slot corner, and then here comes Mike Edwards, who had been beaten out by Winfield Jr., and we know how that game finished off with Edwards making his first career interception in the end zone there in the fourth quarter. And so I would assume that they will go that way and hope that they don't get any more injuries. But, yeah, I don't know where they would be without Winfield Jr. right now. I mean, it's pretty impressive what he has done.
I got to say, I'm very happy they took him over J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah.
And particularly, I mean, granted, you didn't know that LeSean McCoy and Leonard Fournette would become available when you did that.
No, and they probably wouldn't have pursued at least McCoy had they drafted J.K. Dobbins. But there he was on the board, and you know, best running back in college football and all that. They decided to go with Winfield, and boy, they were right. I don't know, Jason Light gets wrapped for a lot of his draft picks over the years, and that happens when you don't make the playoffs in 6 seasons. But I challenge you to go, you know, around those two, offense and defense and special teams, and you know, there's an awful lot of good players there that that have come in at different stages of their careers right now. But it's a really interesting team and a good good football team, and I think they'll have a chance against the Chargers. And it'll just be great to have some atmosphere. I know, you know, even us going out to Denver, and there were some fans there, 5,700. And you know, but you heard them on occasion. You didn't focus on the fact that it was just like New Orleans was, complete, you know, isolation. And, you know, I think this will be good for them. I think it'll be, you know, one more step that you got to take. Although, can all the teams take it with them? Because we see where finally the Tennessee Titans had a bunch of COVID a positive COVID test, and they are now prohibited by the NFL to go back in their team facility before Saturday. And you go, well, will they play Sunday? So what are they supposed to do? They don't care. The NFL, hey, have virtual meetings, whatever you got to do. Their goal is to either play Sunday or Monday, and they're not into sort of skipping games and that sort of thing. So it'll be, you know, I think this is the start of what we're going to see some flare-ups here and there. But the key will be if it doesn't start wiping out games. And so far it hasn't, but Tennessee up there in Nashville has got some issues.
Yeah, and getting back to the fan thing too, it was kind of cool to see in baseball, they're allowing fans family. From the home teams, or the families, not fans, family yeah. from the home teams. I mean, it's not a lot, but it was cool just to see people in the stands. And
it was cool. It makes a difference. I'm telling you it does, even if it's a few thousand. And, you know, like you said, the only downside is, you know, since baseball's in quarantine, those fans have to go in there with them, you know, or those the family members.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to take your wife, you got to take the two kids, and it can get pretty crowded in that 800-square-foot hotel room. But, hey, you know, mom's had to do it while you were away. So, you know, it's just kind of what they're doing. But yeah, it's been an exciting week. I'll tell you, there's so much going on. I'm not prepared. There should be a breath between, you know, between the end of a Stanley Cup and the start of the baseball playoffs. And, of course, the Bucks are still going full force, and all those teams.
You know, the NBA Finals are starting
tonight,
too.
NBA Finals have started. Yeah, it's just like, wow, you know, sensory overload. And I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, it'll be a while before the NFL is over. College football. By the way, did you see we got a request? More college football. Do we not talk enough college football? That's what we got Matt Baker for, I thought. That's what we pay him all that money.
Yeah, well, you know, he does get the big bucks on this show, so.
He really does. I mean, and he does a nice job, but I told Matt, and Matt goes, like, the people have spoken. I said, well, come on and speak twice a week then. And he's like, I don't know about that.
He wants to renegotiate his contract?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everybody wants a new deal. That's the way it goes around here. You ask for a little bit more, they always want to go back and renegotiate. So, but we will talk college football this week, will we not?
Yeah, we'll get Matt back on. I haven't booked it yet, but we'll definitely get Matt back on this week. So,
and we might even catch up at some point with Diana Neros, who was not in the bubble, but covered the Tampa Bay Lightning.
USF's going to be playing again this weekend, so they're at Cincinnati.
Yeah, so Cincinnati's good, by the way.
They are.
Aren't
some
they?
Some had picked them obviously before the Big Ten and Pac-12 and everybody came back. Desmond Howard picked them in the Final Four.
Wow,
college
really?
Football playoff, yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Which I always knew I liked Desmond.
Yeah, well, he's a Michigan guy, so you should. I mean, you guys do stick together after a while. You and Adam Schefter. According to my sources, Steve Bershnick still down in Tampa doing Sports Day Tampa Bay with that great writer, Rick Stroud, who I knew going back in 1990, covering the Denver Broncos. It was funny, when you used to cover the, you know, before the interweb, when you used to cover football, one of the first things I was told when I got the Bucks beat job was, like, now go find all the writers that do your job in all the NFL cities and make friends with them. So I did. And, you know, back then, if there were two newspaper towns, you had to pick. You couldn't choose both. You had to go, okay, am I going to the Trib or am I going to the Times? And then, of course, that changed as well. It's just kind of sharing information. But... So we've got plenty to talk about this week, and hopefully Matt Baker will be with us again, maybe catch up with Diana. So the Rays.
One more note on the Rays, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what Shane McClanahan can be this week? So Shane McClanahan's he's a pitcher from USF who's in the Rays farm system.
He could be on this roster?
So he's on the roster for the three games.
Okay. How would they use him?
If he pitches, well, he's a pitcher. If he pitches,
well, I know that,
he'll become the first pitcher ever to make his major league debut in the postseason.
Really? Ever?
Yep, ever.
I mean, I don't think it's a recipe that you would want to follow, but I'm surprised when you use the word ever. They've been playing baseball a while.
There's been a couple position players. Mark Keeger for the Athletics in 2006 and Alberto Mondesi for the Royals in 2015 have done it. But as far as pitchers, no pitcher has ever made their major league debut in the postseason.
Well, let's hope he gets a chance at that.
Yeah.
So he gets a chance.
I mean, well, you put him on this roster, you anticipate
you got to use him. Right?
I mean, you don't have to if you know your starters go a lot longer than you expected.
Opportunity to present, but if it does,
but I mean, yeah. You don't put him on here just to tie up a roster spot not to use. I mean, they plan on using him if the right matchups and all that come up.
Well, they may have the occasion to use somebody else because I don't know that after the innings he pitched that Nick Anderson is going to be available. So. Mm-hmm. That might be an opportunity for some of those guys to pick up some of those innings,
Yeah. Now, if anyway. The Rays wrap it up today, they may be less likely to use him since
True.
You only, two games and you had 13 pitchers on your roster. You may not go through
sure.
them all. But he's on there, and that means they're willing and able to put him in if they feel the matchups are correct. And, it's all driven by the matchups with them. So
they're definitely going to try to wrap this up. You don't want to go to game three again. Anything can happen. But I think playoff baseball, and this is the thing. The Rays got a taste of it last year. They really enjoyed it. They want to keep doing it. And I think that helps you when you suddenly have some of that playoff experience. Anyway, it's late again. No hockey tonight, but a lot of other things.
Stat for the Rays, too. And all the three of these games are at home, which is very rare in this three-game series. But they're doing it for COVID and all that stuff.
Sure.
The Rays have not lost back-to-back home games since August 19th and 20th of 2019.
Of last year?
That's correct.
Well, that's awfully good omen.
Yeah, they've been very good at home.
That's crazy.
Yeah, as far as not losing back-to-back home games. And, of course, when you win two out of every three games this season,
right?
You don't lose back-to-back games very often.
No.
Period.
No, you can't. You can't. Although the Yankees bashed Cleveland pretty good, like you said, all the road teams except for the Rays won.
Mm-hmm.
If they end up playing the Yankees in the next round, it's going to be really interesting. Those two teams tangled, and the Rays dominated the regular season series. All right, let's say good night or good day to all of you. Thanks for listening. We're here every Monday through Friday, and we hope you guys join us. So much going on between the Bucks, of course, and the Tampa Bay Rays still in action.
Enjoy the boat parade
football.
Today.
Okay, we got the boat parade today. We got Raymond James. If you were lucky enough to get a ticket, you can go there and see the boys afterwards. Mm-hmm. You got your mom, the meatloaf. It's everywhere. It's
you can be listening to the Rays game on the radio while you're at the boat parade. And
absolutely.
Multitask there with the 4 o'clock start there.
Sure. And then Sunday, the Chargers come to town. So it'll be fun. All right, that's it. For Steve Versnick, I am Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.